Hey everybody, on this episode of AfterBuzz TV Spotlight On, we're getting up close and personal with actress Amber Coyle. Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes. Push it real good, everybody. That's what we're going to be doing for this next hour. Welcome, everybody, to AfterBuzz TV Spotlight On. This is the show where we get up close and personal with the people that are in front and behind the camera, bringing you all that great entertainment that you get to watch in the theater, on your television, maybe on your mobile streaming devices. I'm your host, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. Why not follow me on the gram? At Happy Go Jackie. Now, my guest today, she is an actress and comedian. You've seen her comedic stylings on Jimmy Kimmel Live, as well as on her YouTube channel. You can see that there. She also most recently was on New Girl just a few weeks ago, back before it ended its season run here on Fox. She's also got a couple films upcoming here. She's got a film called Branded that'll be coming up. And there's also a film that she did with BuzzFeed Motion Picture. Look at that. It's going to be on Go 90 as well. And she's got a little pilot of her own. She's not just in front of the camera. She's also behind the camera as well, working on a project called Doomsdate. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Amber Coyle.
Thank you.
So, Amber, look at that. So you're a Texas native.
I am deep in the heart of Texas. Deep,
from Houston, Texas.
Yep. Small town, actually. You probably never heard of it, called Tomball.
Oh, my gosh. Tomball? Oh, who hasn't heard about Tomball? No, I love that Tomball.
Nobody knows about Tomball. We have a Starbucks now and a Target. That's nice. Like a really big deal. It used to be only Walmart.
Now, coming in here, we were listening to a little sweet Salt and Pepper. Push it real good. You said you were, in terms of music, a child of the 90s. When you hear this song, what does it make you think of?
Well, it makes me think of sixth grade when I used to try to memorize every lyric from the cassette. But actually, I recently saw them in concert, and I got backstage, I got a meet and greet. Yeah. And my mind was blown. I was so excited.
What was it like seeing somebody that you've been kind of like trying to memorize the lyrics since in sixth grade? You get to meet them in person.
And front row.
Oh.
Front row. I can't even talk. It was incredible.
Now, I mean, all right, just let's be candid here for one second, Amber. Musicians that you love, but then, yeah. You know, sometimes you see them in concert after their kind of like their big heyday has come. Were they still able to bring it just as well as...
Oh, yeah, they held up.
Yeah?
They looked fine, too. The dancing, the confidence, the men that they had on stage dancing with them, like, they run the show. Like, that is pure female power, and that is what I am hoping to exude in my career as well.
Now, who do you bring with you to a Salt and Pepper concert?
My friend Chantel. Actually, she's from Vegas, and we met on a commercial in Vegas. We were shooting. She's a hair and makeup stylist, and like we instantly were like soul sisters. So she came to LA for the first time ever and stayed with me, and that was like the first night. And then the second night, I took her to see Chris D'Elia, and I know him from, you know, doing stand up, and she got to meet him, and it was just like the best weekend ever. So
how far out did you find out that Salt and Pepper was playing in Vegas? And you're like, I don't care what's happening in my life. I'm making sure no matter what happens, I am in
months
Vegas.
In advance. Pre-sale. I love the 90s concert. It was Salt and Pepper, Coolio, Mark McGrath, and a couple other like
Mark
randoms.
McGrath, look
yeah,
at him.
Yeah. It was like wow. It was like wow. Like the energy in the whole place was like, you know, really stuck in the 90s. It was great.
Oh man. Do you dress kind of 90-ish to go there, or no, you're just going to you're not going to go that far in?
I wore a Salt and Pepper shirt. I was that guy that goes to a concert wearing the artist's shirt to the concert.
Yes.
Yeah, that was me.
That is so cool. So, I mean, just to be able to get to hang out backstage with them a little bit and chat them up, that's got to be super cool.
I was nervous. I was actually nervous to meet them.
Really?
And Spinderella was there, too. And
cut it up one time. Come on.
Cut it up. Cut it out. Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, that is so cool. All right. So, now, from a small town there in Texas, mm-hmm. was acting and comedy in your blood from day one, or is that something you kind of fell into and kind of wanted to pursue later in life?
My mom and my grandparents, I was very close to my mom's parents. And they always just thought I was like a ham. Like I was a quiet little girl, but like, I just loved to shine, and they tried to put me into an acting class and dance and stuff like that. And then as I grew into a teenager, I was in theater and thespian troupe, and I always loved to make people laugh. And then even my senior year, I got a class clown.
So. Yeah, I saw that in a class clown. Is that something you've got to really campaign for, or is that
just was like my one and only goal in life, and I achieved it, guys. There's nothing left.
Oh, it's been Amber, were you saying it's like a slow decline there since that senior year of high school? You know, I peaked out in high school. That was it.
That's it. You know, small town, small dreams.
Yep. Man, so as a class clown, I can imagine a lot of competition for that. Or did you feel like this? I got it locked in the bag. There's nobody who's going to stand up.
I knew I was going to get it, but I didn't know they were picking two people per category. So they picked a girl and a guy. So the guy, we were tight, so it was good. We shared the title.
I mean, in your heart, you know you're the real class clown.
Yeah.
He's just a runner-up.
Yeah, I've far succeeded that comedic drive. Sorry, Travis.
So now, in a small town, mm-hmm. Were you already thinking like, well, next steps? I can't really stay here. I need to go elsewhere. If I want to keep pursuing this, it can't be right here.
Yeah, I always wanted to move to California and live the LA dream. And my grandmother, she was really supportive about it and tried to get me to go to agents will come from LA and go to this like convention type thing and you perform in front of them and you can get signed. I mean, I think it's probably a crock of shit, honestly. Sorry. I took some acting classes and stuff, and I really didn't pursue it until I was in college. And I went to school for interior design, never used it, but I was just like, I'm going to go for my dream. If it doesn't happen, whatever, at least I have this degree.
What made you decide to pursue interior design? Was it just, did you feel like, well, maybe acting is not something I could realistically pursue, so I need to do something else instead?
My dad was, all about me getting an education. So I kind of was like, all right, and did that whole thing. But I just can't ever see myself doing a 9-to-5 job, And I did modeling and stuff for a long time, and I was like, screw it, I'm going for it. And I ended up in Miami. I was a yacht stewardess. I have a really random life. I was a yacht stewardess and going to school, and that was my escape to get out of Texas. But that wasn't where I wanted to be. And in Miami, there's no comedy scene. There's not really a music scene either. It's very Latin culture, which I can appreciate, but it's just, I wanted to be here. This is where it's all out. This is the land of opportunity,
Now, I feel as a yacht stewardess, the only thing I really know is from Bravo, Below Deck or something like that, for that show where they have you can chart a boat and they come with all these people and they've got mm-hmm. drama and intrigue and whatever happens on there. What's it like being a yacht stewardess?
It's really interesting. It was a whole world I knew nothing about. My ex, I got into it because my ex, he was a captain on just little tour boats and stuff like that. And he's like, let's just move to Miami. We started working for this private owner. It was a self-made millionaire, and he had his wife and grown kids, and it was just kind of their mini vacation getaway type of thing. So they weren't on there full time. So they wanted to relocate from Texas to Miami, and that's how we ended up there. And I got to travel to places that I never would probably go to otherwise. We did a whole East Coast trip and stopped at all the little towns going up all the way to Boston and back down. And I went to the Caribbean and random islands that I don't even know if they have a name. You know what I mean? So it was very cool. And I even got to bring my cat on a trip before. So that was nice that they let me bring the cat on the boat.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
How did your cat adjust to being just I can't really go everywhere I want because there's water all around me?
He adjusted to it. I think he was a little freaked out at first, but he would lay in the window and sunbathe. And it was crazy because they have the air pressure doors that are sensored. When you walk up, they open and then they close after you. A nightmare happened, and the cat was walking, and it it's 100 pounds of pressure or something, and it slammed on his head and his tongue was hanging out, and I thought he died, and I was rushed him to the emergency vet, and it ripped out his dew claw, his thumbnail, And it was really sad, but he survived. I don't know if he had permanent brain damage because there's not really a way to know with cats.
Yeah.
But he survived and it was all good and he went on the trip with us. But yeah, talk about stress.
I can imagine much more cautious when it came to those doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like my child.
Yes.
I'm like, you don't mess with my child.
No, no.
No.
That's got a nice feel to be bring a little bit of home with you on something like that as well,
sure,
too.
For sure,
So now this whole time, though, because I feel like you're on a boat and you're traveling around the Caribbean, mm-hmm. you're going up and down the East Coast. Very cool, but it's still tough to, like you're saying, try to pursue any kind of comedic or acting ventures mm-hmm. when you're mm-hmm. constantly moving up and down the coast or around the islands.
Well, and I was going to school at the time, too. I took 3 months off, which I was going like year-round anyway, but... just to travel, you know, and take that opportunity while it was there. But yeah, I had to get, I was like, once I was in my thesis, I was like, I gotta cut the boat stuff. Like I gotta move on. And then once I graduated, I was like, LA, it's when I get money, I'll go there. So yeah. I kind of lingered around for a while until I made enough money to come out here.
So, now do you have any siblings?
I do. I have a set of twin sisters, Brittany and Chelsea, and a younger sister, Bobby.
Now, are any of them pursuing anything in the arts?
Funny enough, the twins, my dad and my stepmom brought the twins out here when they were young, and their very first audition, they landed a pilot that ended up getting picked up by NBC called Revelations, and... You know, they were like the Mary-Kate Ashley, you know, where they play the same role, but mm-hmm. it's twins because I guess child rules, child labor laws or whatever. Can't have them on set for too long. But, yeah, they made residuals off of that for quite a while.
Wow.
Yeah. But they didn't do a whole lot after that. And I think Bobby did a couple little jobs, too. And they were just ready to go back home. They didn't want to be homeschooled. They wanted to go to regular school and... Yeah, it worked out for them. They really don't want anything to do with it now.
Yeah, they had the little taste, so it was like
yeah.
It's kind of nice to have that and to make that kind of choice. Like, all right, uh-huh. yeah, instead of always having that wondering, like, what would it be like? Like, we saw what it's like, mm-hmm. and it's not for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's nice to be able to have that support from your family, though, in terms of having your grandparents really supportive of you wanting, thinking that you're funny, thinking you should be pushed for this. It's nice to have that support system.
God bless them. In my 30s, still helping me out sometimes, guys. Thank you.
That is, there's no shame.
You know, when you're an actor, you're either down here or you're up here. Not really much in between when it comes to the financial, you know, situation. So
that's true. There's no like that steady source of
nothing steady about it at all.
So you're in Miami and you decide, all right, finally, I've made enough. I'm heading west, going to LA.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any kind of support system in place here, or did you pretty much just go in on your own? You land here in the City of Angels.
I had a few friends out here, and I have one uncle that lives here that I'm close to. So at least I had, you know, a handful of people. And then my girlfriend from Miami, she started dating a guy that lived in Beverly Hills, and they had a big old house, and I totally scored with my first experience coming to LA. I lived in 90210. I rented a garage apartment for like $800 for the first 6 months, and then it was like $1,100 after that. But I mean, I had my own driveway, I got to use the pool, I had my own entrance. It was like a huge apartment with washer, dryer, AC. Guys, these are luxuries, okay? I know it sounds asinine to not have an air conditioner in an apartment, but that's LA. Not everybody has air conditioning.
That is very true.
Quite troubling, as well as the parking situation.
Parking, yeah, that is a nightmare and a half.
Good God.
No, and I feel like it's never going to get easier. No, it's because as much as they keep adding, more people just keep coming. Mm-hmm. That's it. That your first time out, I mean, you must be feeling like, all right, this is great. I got to
live in the life.
Yes, I'm in Beverly Hills 90210.
Had some money stacked away, you know, just trying to get dialed in. And I actually got off on a good foot, you know. I already had representation, which you hear a lot of people like go for years, which that sounds crazy to me. Either you got it or you don't. And if you don't have an agent, that's your problem or something's going on, because like if you're doing the work, somebody's going to want to take you, you know?
So now I understand you also did some classes out here.
Iowa
West, Groundlings, UCB.
Mm-hmm.
So I've studied all those places as well.
Nice.
Yes. So Who did you have at Iowa West?
Oh, my gosh. I can't even think. It's been a while.
You don't have to?
Craig Kukowski?
Yes.
That's one of them.
That's
good. Yeah.
And that's an example of he is so incredibly talented. And you always wonder, like, man, why isn't he doing more?
I know.
It's really cool to see him on Drunk History and stuff like that now, where he's
yeah.
just taking off.
And I think I saw him on an old Taco Bell commercial where you get taco neck syndrome. I don't know if you remember that. Oh. TNS.
It still haunts a lot of people to this day.
It's probably before a lot of you were born.
Yeah.
But
it's tough, guys. A lot of people a lot of people still hold up.
Still
with
doing
that.
It.
Yeah, still, yeah, I got a TNS, guys.
Did you study at Growlings, too?
I did.
Guy Stevenson, he was my favorite teacher because he was a writer for Mad TV.
Yeah. It's for me, because my first was Groundlings. And then the wait
Same.
Between levels was so long that I was like, well, I got to find something else to do. And somebody recommended Iowa West.
Same.
Yeah. And then I really just fell in there because I felt like I could get performing so much quicker than I could waiting at Groundlings.
Uh-huh.
And
it felt more like a home, you know?
Yes.
They got the bar, they got the mm-hmm. stage, and the classes all in one.
Yes. It makes it so much easier. And like, even though like it's UCB is kind of like the crown jewel right now in the LA scene.
It's a little too trendy for me, guys. I took 101 and I was like, bye.
it's a different beast over there.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I guess you'd also feel out of the Groundlings, but also UCB, just that sense of competitiveness because there's just so few mm-hmm. slots on like those Herald teams and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So what did you like about doing improv? Or what do you like about it?
I feel like I'm better just, you know, being witty, like just in conversation and stuff, and like improv. I just like the surprise aspect of it and like working with other people. And I met some of my greatest friends doing improv, like going to that school. And my friend Shane Hartline, we met in our level one class. And we started making a bunch of YouTube stuff where we just like have an idea, we turn on the camera and just let it roll and start improvising. And like the chemistry between us as actors, I mean, it was incredible. Like we got so much comedy gold over the years. And, you know, had I not taken class there, I would have never met him, or you know, I got a manager through there. I mean, there was so many things, great things that came out of it.
And I will give it up for him. He hustles so much. Like his Shane,
you know,
hopefully
Shane?
Chris Pratt, yeah, show. I did a sketch cram with him. So we did like a 6-week run of sketches that we were performers in. So it was really cool, and I got to know him that.
Such
that
a
way.
Good guy,
man. And he's just his work ethic is just amazing to me.
I think it's because of the support of his family. Like, not all of us are, you know, lucky enough to have, like, a supportive family, you know, doing such a crazy career path, you know, with no security. And, like, yeah, he wants it badly enough that, you know, and a lot of people just fool around. But, like, that guy is serious. I'm serious, too.
Now, for you, serious, but was there any moments of doubt? Once you first got out here?
I don't allow myself to go there because I have literally left everything to come here and do this, and it's been over 10 years working, and just you gotta keep going, you know? You have people that try to bring you down, like, oh, you give yourself a timeline. It's like,
I feel
no,
like it's gonna be, yeah, so.
I don't give myself a timeline. It happens when it happens, and I think everything happens for a reason, and as long as you're plugging away and doing what you feel like you should be doing, like, it'll come. I mean, I don't expect to be, like, in the 80s where they're like, oh, I'm waiting to get discovered. I'm just going to sit here and, like, wait for somebody to come say, oh, my gosh, you're so beautiful and this and that. And it's like, no, you actually have to do the work and, you know, meet people and a lot about who you know.
So much so. But yeah. I also feel like the nice thing about it, too, is that you don't necessarily need to know somebody high up. If you, like, say with Shane, a lot of your friends, you can create your own content.
Yeah.
Which is something that, you know, 20, 30 years ago, not able to do as easily.
You're right.
And this is so, how do you really enjoy just that kind of collaboration? Sure, it's great to have roles in films, TV shows, but there's got to be something to be said about just being with a group of friends, creating something that you're both all passionate about,
for
just for
sure.
yourselves. Not have to worry about satisfying studio execs or anything like that.
There's so many times, more than I can count over the years, of just like, you know, getting an audition and you're excited you got called in, and then you open the script and you're like, what the hell is this? Like, how did they even get funding for this? This is ridiculous. I wouldn't even if I got this job, I would say no. Like, that's what sucks, because you're working so hard to, like, just even get in the door, and then you get in the door and you're like, I
can just leave right now, guys. I appreciate it. It was nice seeing you.
You know what? Yeah. Like, that's a career ruiner. Like, let me do my own thing. Exactly.
Now, do you like the audition process?
Not really. No. But, I work on being more comfortable with it. And, you know, I've progressed a long way over the years. Because for me, it's more like, you see my work. I have, you know, plenty of reels and clips and all this stuff to look at. But there's something about that cold-ass room where you're standing in front of a camera feeling intimidated about a casting director that you may have never met before. And depending on their vibe, if they're, like, really cold and just like, okay, let's go. And then they get on the phone. I mean, La La Land, that was so on point. Like, I drive a silver Prius. I'm a struggling actress, you know, where I've been interrupted in like, really deep, like, dramatic auditions. And my boyfriend is a composer. He plays piano. And, like, it was crazy when I saw that. I was like, is this me? Is this about my life?
That's right. Well, hopefully it ends out much better for you and your boyfriend than it does in this film. Yes. Unless you get to go to Paris for a while. Then, you know, who knows? All right, maybe that's all right.
Yeah. I've been to Paris, so check.
Oh, there you go. Got that up there. Mm-hmm. I feel like one of the best waffles I've had in my entire life there in Paris, right by the Eiffel Tower. I never found anything that's ever been as good, and it haunts me to this day.
In the restaurant at the top?
Outside on a little vending cart, okay. Just right outside of the, just underneath one of the legs. There's just this little cart.
I always wanted to go to the top. Oh. I've been there multiple times, and I've never actually gone to the top of the Eiffel Tower.
We got a multi-time visitor to pay.
It's on my list.
Look at that. Now, we mentioned briefly food before we started here, and I just mentioned waffles there. You say you just food get in your belly.
Yeah.
What is your go-to kind of like comfort food
when chips. You're here?
Chips. Yes?
I'm. It is why my thighs chafe. Potato chips are world's biggest weakness for me.
Now, because what I love about potato chips is, like, there's so many different types of flavors. Like, right now they're doing kettle chips.
Salt and vinegar.
Salt and vinegar, is that it?
Kettle cooked.
Oh. Like, if you put, like, a specialty flavor, like dill pickle.
I love dill pickle.
The dill pickle kettle chips, I'm a sucker.
I grew up on them dill pickle chips.
Really? That's, like, that's an old school thing?
It is.
Because, man, I had never really realized that until, like kettle.
It's trending now.
That's you put dill pickle on anything. Like Trader Joe's doing like the dill pickle popcorn.
Oh yeah. Oh, yes. We could talk about this for hours. Yes. Just going on a food tangent.
Oh my goodness. I could put some damage in there.
Yeah.
And then I saw they had a spicy dill pickle chip over at Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's is killing it.
Man, they got some.
They got the low prices. They got the trendy spices. I'm rhyming now.
Look at that. So, speaking of comedy, though, you've been on Jimmy Kimmel Live. What's the whole experience like doing a sketch for Jimmy Kimmel Live?
It's a lot of fun. I mean, the whole energy of working with all those people, they're just fun. You know, I tried to find the video, actually, and I think they removed it off of YouTube, but it was called Sausage Party, and it was before that movie came out, Sausage Party. But it was, like, a video about all the guys, like, eating sausage, no girls allowed. And so I was a cheerleader, and I knocked on the door, and then they, like, slammed the door in my face. And I did another one with, like, Guillermo and the other guy. Can't think of his name right now. But they were in a pool with, like, the inner tube things around their waist and, like, in a kiddie pool. And so we're just, like, in our bikinis, like, splashing. Ridiculous.
Now, is it pretty lean and mean when they're doing those sketches, or do you have kind of room to, if you want to, do they open it up? Like, hey, if anybody has a funny idea, you can...
No, I think they're just trying to get their angles and get it done.
Yeah.
You know, but it's fun. It's easy money. And it's usually only like 3 hours and you're done and you're getting paid for a full day, so.
Not bad. And it's always nice to be able to have some, like, watch me on Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight, guys. Yeah. Tune in. You might see me doing this.
Yeah, the only thing is everything's like super last minute, so they'll hit you up like the day before. Hey, are you available tomorrow at 8 a.m.? And it's like, you know. And I've had to try. They've called me so many other times, and I just haven't been available to do it. So it sucks.
Well, but maybe it's a good thing because you got better things on your plate right now.
All right, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Yes, you got better.
Keep it on the positive.
Now, as I was reading, one of your as I said, kind of breakthrough roles was playing Marilyn Monroe.
Oh yeah, I randomly got into the whole Marilyn Monroe thing. Like, people would be like, "You look like her. Like, I could totally see you doing that." And I'm like, I don't know. Like, and I've always been a fan. And I used to do freelance makeup, and so on myself, I can, you know, look at a photo and like try to make myself look like her. And then I curl my hair and I pin it up and make it look short instead of wearing a wig. It's better to have real hair, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I did a music video for Sergio Andre. It was a Spanish type music, and got some great footage from that. And then a Mercedes commercial with Roger Federer. He's world's number one tennis player.
Did you know him before, or knew who he was before going into this commercial?
Honestly, I had no idea. I'm like, who is this guy? Why is he such a big deal? And the extras are like, you don't know? I'm like, no. And then we shot on a green screen in this Mercedes old-timey car that was like worth over $1 million. And I kept having to get in and out and in and out of the car. And they had me in this girdle, honey. It was so tight. You didn't see any rolls. I was like, like sucked in. I got the girls up. And they had me get in and out. And I'm trying to be careful with the car because I don't want my heel to scrape the car. And then my butt just busted a huge hole in the back of the dress, and there's like tons of people watching, you know, and I'm with Roger in the car, and I don't know what I said. I was like, the gadunkadunk just busted a hole up in this dress, and so wardrobe's like sewing it on my butt, and people are just laughing, and yeah, what are you gonna do? What you gonna do?
Now, it's that's kind of what a compliment, though, to people to look at you and say, you know what, you should play Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It really is. And strangely enough, like, I live right next to Paramount Studios, and I can see, like, the Paramount Tower from my building, and there's a little alleyway, and I found out there's, right at the end of the alleyway is an old, it's a school now, but it used to be an orphanage where Marilyn Monroe grew up. And story is, she would stare up at the water tower of Paramount and, like, dream about being a famous actress. And, like, it's just really strange because, like, I just started doing it, like, last year, Marilyn stuff, and she used to live there, and, like, here I am. I don't know. Just, like, the universe is weird, you know? I don't know what that means, but.
So, in addition, because I know you mentioned, or as we were talking about briefly, stand-up. Do you do stand-up as well?
I haven't done it in a while, but I used to do it, yes. And I'm thinking about getting back into it because I get the itch. I stopped watching it for a while. I couldn't even, like, watch people because I would just feel bad about myself that I wasn't up there doing it. And, like, I'm like, ugh. But it is something I enjoy doing. It's just very difficult, you know, and to be a female and not look like, you know, Lisa Lampanelli or, you know, that people just expect you to have a certain look for you to be funny. Mm-hmm. They don't think, like, an attractive girl can be smart or witty or anything.
Oh, you had Sarah Silverman, Whitney Cummings.
Yeah, yeah. And it was probably hard for them for a while, you know. So unless you're consistently doing it every single night, and that's a lot to – when you're trying to pay your bills in yeah. L.A. to, like – I try to work jobs at night, so I have my days free to go to auditions and – yeah, it's quite the catch-22, but...
What's the open mic scene like here in L.A. when you were doing it? Was it miserable?
I didn't like it at all.
Because I just imagine just, like, coffee shops or whatnot where people, like, ordering drinks with really loud coffee mm-hmm. machines while you're trying to do your set.
Well, and it's all other stand-ups, and they're just kind of like... like, not... you know, you're not getting a true laugh. Like, you don't know if it's not a good test because they don't want to laugh at you. You're their competition, essentially. So, yeah, my best times were when it's like, you know, Comedy Store, packed house, you know, nervous as shit before I get on the stage. But you just fake the confidence and, you know, it can either go really well or really bad.
But what was your first experience like? Did you feel like you killed your first set?
The first time I ever did stand-up is actually on YouTube, and it was at the Hollywood Improv in Florida, Hollywood, Florida. And I killed it. It was awesome. Like, I got a high. My endorphins were pumping. Like, I got a high that I never felt in my life. I was like, yes, I'm meant to do this. But I learned that it doesn't always go your way. Yeah, the high highs and the low lows, but it's part of the process. You know, that's what makes you better.
So if you decided right now, you're like, you know what, screw it. I'm going to go and make a goal to do another stand-up set. Mm-hmm. How long would it take you to get ready? You feel before you're ready to go up and do something?
Oh, good God. Well, I have to work on a whole other set. I mean, I always keep a list of ideas over the years. Just they're not fully worked out jokes, but it's definitely like material. I don't know. Part of me is a procrastinator, so I would have to probably give myself a deadline so I have something to, you know, work, and then I'd probably like cram it in 2 days.
Scary
story of your life.
Story of my life as well, Amber. Yeah. That is, yep, I need that deadline, absolutely. And then I will push it to the razor edge.
The artist mind.
That's right. Just to get it to that last second, like, no, I got time. Oh, no, I have more time. All right, I got to do this.
Yep.
I will stay up 72 hours just to get it done. Mm-hmm. And then just like, all right, then collapse at the end of it. What was I doing? Vowing to myself, next time I won't do it like this. I'll get started so much sooner.
Cycle, repeat.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So what is it that you, in terms of, because you've done improv and stand-up, do they both kind of feed different aspects that you really enjoy in terms of being by yourself and also collaborating with others?
Being by yourself is much scarier, for sure. But it, like, if you can accomplish that, it's like such a great feeling, you know. I also did sketch. I was in a sketch group for quite a while when I lived in Miami. And, you know, I met a lifelong friend in doing that. And I like to make people laugh, you know, and I feel like every comedian has some sense of, like, darkness in their, like, family life or something that they just want to get the hell away from, and that's why we just like to laugh, you know? Maybe that's just me, but, I just want to feel good. I want to be happy. I want to live life.
Is the key to that just to finally, like, be confident in your particular point of view of the world? To know that what you have to say is funny, that you don't have to feel like, I got to find out what other people are doing that's funny and kind of adapt to that. No, I got to be strong and say,
no, I just do what I think is funny. Yeah, because when I did stand up, it was kind of like, I'd have a lot of people that were like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. That was awesome, like being true to yourself. And then other people are like, that was way too dirty. You got to clean it up, girl. And I'm like, I'm just being me. I didn't know anything. The first time I ever wrote a set, like, I just wrote what I thought was funny. I didn't ask. I didn't really do a whole lot of research either. I just, like, I did what I did. Yeah.
That's enough. Look at that.
Bam.
Bam.
Shazam.
So, I mentioned briefly at the top, you were a new girl just a few weeks ago.
Yes, indeed.
You played one of Megan Fox's friends in the episode. A new girl hopefully comes back for another season. I know it's still kind of on the edge if it's coming back for another one. But what was the experience like?
It was fun. I was super pumped, like, the whole, you know, from the audition to booking it to being on set all day long. It was, I tried to just really absorb every moment of it and just be in pure gratitude because, I mean, I couldn't have booked a more perfect, like, show. Because I would love to be on a sitcom or some type of show like Reno 911 or, you know, In Living Color was a great show, but
oh yes,
I don't know if that's my I don't know. I'm gonna leave it up to life to figure it out. But
I like that as child of the 90s. There you go. It's like boom, yes, In Living Color, not necessarily Saturday Night Live. If you had to choose between the two. The kind of the take of In Living Color fits more your sensibility?
I like both, but I've actually auditioned for Saturday Night Live a few times, and I didn't realize that how difficult it is. Like, you're not just an actor in all the sketches. You actually have to write a ton. And, like, it's, like, fast paced. And, like, if you're not keeping up with everybody else, they're like, bye. And you get the call. You got to leave everything right away. Like, you don't have time to wrap up anything. So, and it doesn't even pay a whole lot. But it's not really about the money. You know, you want to just be able to at least get by. But mm-hmm. There's a lot more entailed with that than I had anticipated. Because, I didn't go to school to be a writer. You know, I just, for my stand-up, I wrote what was funny. And I know sketch is like a whole other formula, you know, so.
Well, I feel like that's what, like Groundling Sunday Company, mm-hmm. friends of mine that have gone through that, say that regardless if they make it or not, the experience of going through it, though, and just being forced to generate so much material on a weekly basis has really prepared them for stuff outside of the Groundlings.
I'm sure.
So it's like I mentioned, amazing. That pace that you've got to maintain for that, it's got to be incredibly daunting.
Yeah, so it kind of made me go, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that yet. You know, maybe at some point. I'd rather actually be a guest on the show. That would be like...
That's a dream, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So you can come out, Amber Coyle, come out, you do your monologue.
Oh, that would be so much fun.
All right, okay, so imagine you're doing the SNL monologue. Would you want to be a monologue where you sing? Because I feel like I'm tired of the host singing. Like, here's a funny song that the host will sing. Or do you want to do more like a crowd interaction, or just like some of the other actors come on and just
probably crowd interaction or other characters coming out? Yeah,
it's like, oh, maybe you guys didn't know, but I also sing. I'm like, no, not this one again.
No,
all right.
Karaoke's good, but yeah. I don't know. I kind of have a secret that I've always wanted to be in a chick band, but I never stuck with guitar lessons and like really, because I love music, that's like another passion of mine, but I don't know, maybe when I make it like J-Lo, I can start my
scene. Yes.
But it won't be like that poppy stuff, it'd be like rock and roll, you know, it'd be like I'm a badass chick and I slap the bass.
So right now, can you pick up the guitar and at least play along a little bit? Nothing.
No.
Can't do anything.
I could at one point, like when I was in high school and I took some lessons, but it was like only a little bit. It wasn't very advanced at all.
You didn't want to do the drums? Guitar was your thing?
Guitar was my thing. Yeah.
I feel like the drums seem always so cool. But then again, you're stuck in the back, though.
Yeah.
Unless you get one of those cool, like, rotating stages or whatever like that, the drum set.
The Tommy. Rotates.
Yes.
What's his face?
Tommy Lee?
Yeah, yes. Tommy Lee. I've seen that, actually. Sunset Boulevard, when they had that music festival. Yeah, they played one year, and I was like, here it is.
He's rotating. It's happening.
It's happening. This is legendary.
So now you've also, you've booked a role in an upcoming pilot called Bromance.
Yes, actually, my friend Antonio wrote it.
Yeah, speaking of who you know, which is a great connection.
I know. It's actually one of my boyfriend's best friends, and he knew I was an actress, but he never really, like, watched any of my stuff or really knew, you know, he knew I was in it and everything, but after he saw New Girl and, you know, he saw some of my other stuff, he's like, you're a natural. Like, I want to offer you this part. And I was like, all right, sweet. Read the script, laughed out loud a lot. So it's exciting. We're going to shoot that this month.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So that really, but that's got to be very nice to hear, though, that that kind of feedback. That,
yeah.
You know, they watch, it's like, my gosh, you are perfect for this.
Yeah, for sure.
And then also the BuzzFeed film, Up for Adoption.
It's actually a series.
That's a series? Okay.
Yes, and it is already on Go 90.
Nice.
It was released at the end of January. And we have 10 episodes. And that was one of the like most rewarding experiences in my career.
I can imagine,
so
because
much
you get
fun.
10 episodes to really dive into this stuff, as opposed to being a guest star.
Yeah, and I'm a lead. Like, I play the mom. I have two teenage daughters, and it's very similar to The Office, but it takes place in a pet adoption center, and it's just, you know, there's always something silly happening, and it was cool because we got to work with real animals that need to be adopted. So if anybody on set, you know, was like, oh my God, I gotta take this cat home, you know, like, they could.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
So in terms of a situation like that, a lot of room to improvise if you want?
They were pretty strict about the script. Yeah. I mean, they gave you kind of options on, like, the way you say it or... Oh, my God, I'm having a brain fart right now, guys. I mean, I'm getting hangry. I need to get some food power.
Oh, we need a Snickers. Somebody get a Snickers.
Oh, yeah. But how you... I cannot think of the word. How you say it. How you deliver. Deliver, guys. Deliver.
We got it.
Wake up. But they did, it was a very specific formula, you know, to have that, like, single cam, like, the confessionals, mm-hmm. and it was a great learning experience, for sure.
And now taking some of that and applying it towards a project that you're working on, Doomsday.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
What's it like now, not only being in front, but you're also now creating your own material as well?
It's a lot of work.
More than you were expecting?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had no idea what to expect. Because I've always just been the actress. I've never, like, done any stuff behind the scenes, really. And, you know, when you're... we raised, like, almost $5,000 on Indiegogo. And then we also have an investor that's going to give us a lot more. So there's legal, you know, contracts and law. But it's good. It's good to be well-rounded and to learn and... yeah, I'm so excited. Like, I cannot wait to start shooting. I cannot wait.
And when do you start shooting?
We don't know yet. Okay. Right now, we're trying to get the legal stuff out of the way. And we wrote the script, me and two girlfriends of mine, Kristen and Alina. And we're actually going to hire a professional writer just to kind of shape it up a little bit. And we met with one, and she's... worked with, like, Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell, so I'm like, y'all, this is gonna be good.
I guess you can work on
our
script.
It's gonna be real good.
Fine. I guess you're good enough.
Yeah.
How long has this idea been gestating?
It's been, like, over 2 years. Because for us, it was, like, an idea, and we talked about it for a while, and then actually getting three people's schedules to meet up, being actresses, like, it was very hard and, like, oh, let's rewrite it, and let's finish this part and law, like, character development, pitch package. Like, there's so much that goes into it. And then trying to raise the money for it, then trying to find an investor and taking meetings with people. Then we had to take meetings with the director, and we decided we're going to make it all female. Like, we're going to have a female writer help shape the script. We have a female director, a female assistant director. It's an all-female cast. The only male is the investor. So
I guess we'll let you be a male.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Because I feel like that's the you've probably cracked the hardest part of it, is to find those people that you can collaborate with. Because so many people, you'll make those connections, and there's always just that talk. Like, oh, we should do something together.
Yeah.
And then it just dies in
the
vibe.
All about making it happen. Like, I'm tired of talking about it. Like,
but to find other people that feel that passionately
as well. On
the same
page. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
That's got to be so rewarding.
Yeah.
So the whole, how was it doing, like, the public crowdfunding for this? Was that, is it just daunting? Is it
just
relentless?
It's never easy asking for money. I mean, even asking your family for money, you know. It was, and you don't want to be that annoying person on social media just, like, blasting every day, give me your money.
Yeah.
So it was difficult, you know. It was a very, like, fragile area to tiptoe around.
I know, and it's like, yeah, I feel like, and other people have said, like, you, if you believe in your project, then you just have to get past that, because that's the only way you're going to be able to make it happen. If you don't, then you'll never make anything. But still, it's easy to say, but hard to do.
And it started out with just, like, as, like, a YouTube idea, and then we're like, shit, if we're going to do this, we might as well go all the way, you know what I'm saying?
Why
so, 5,000, that's not enough. Let's go higher. Let's do this the right way, you know? But we would love to, like, pitch it to Adult Swim or something like that, because they have zero female content. And
that would be nice.
Our comedy is ridiculous. It's over the top. It's kind of sketchy, you know, like sketch type characters, but, like, in a Sex and the City kind of situation. Like, I love Tim and Eric.
Yes.
They're, like, my heroes. So if we could have, like, a female version of that, a little-esque.
That would be so cool.
Yeah.
They were one of the first people, like, I had never done this before, but I said, like, hey, I want to reach out to somebody that I really like and just like, can I just buy you dinner? And I did that to Tim and Eric, and they said yes.
So we went Are you serious?
Yes. So we went for a steak place, and they just ate a bunch of steak. And
when was this?
It was just, it was right when the show, when Tim and Eric, their comedy show first hit on.
So oh, wow. Long six, time. Six, they're having their 10-year reunion tour. Or is it 10 year?
That must be. Yeah, because it was. Yeah. Like, it had to be like 7 or 8 years.
We got tickets to their live 10-year anniversary show. I cannot wait.
Was it even before? I think it was just Tom Goes to the Mayor. So I think it was just right after that because we watched some of their stuff on from their old videos and stuff like that. Watch it online and stuff.
Petite feet, yes, feminine step.
Yeah. Or Versaccio. That was one that was stuck with me. Like. What a great name for that.
Everything is so great about them. I actually got to work with Tim on his live Oscars special.
Oh, really?
With Greg Turkington. I played Marilyn Monroe in their still painting.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And they gave me a horrible wig. So it was like, I could have really looked like Marilyn, but they were like, here, take this shitty wig.
Yes.
And, but that's...
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, they want you to look like shit.
Just the way that they edit and all that stuff, just it was just so much fun.
The editing is really key.
Yeah, anybody that like will make it so that you look like you're recording over an old video, I'm always
they're obsessed with the 90s, like the computers and Tane with what's his face? Oh gosh, from I Love You, Man.
Oh gosh,
we're brain farting today, guys. We are straight brain farting. Anyways, look up Tane, Tim and Eric. Hilarious.
So funny. So it'd be great to be, since they're kind of, they're not really doing as much on the network as well, to have somebody kind of coming with that sensibility, but with a female perspective, it'd be really cool.
I want to stand out and do what I think is funny.
Oh, what more can you ask for?
Oh, keeping it real.
That's right. Amber, we're about ready to wrap up. I know you didn't think, it's like, what are we going to talk about for an hour?
I know.
I told you, don't
worry
about it.
This is actually easier than I thought.
Oh, look at that.
We have chemistry on camera.
We did it, everybody. So, Amber, if they want to keep up to date with everything you're doing, whether it be Doomsday, if we want to talk about bromance, roofers, we didn't get a chance to talk about that briefly, but you're also in roofers as well, where can they find you?
My website, www.ambercoil.com, and you can email me there if you'd like. I also have Instagram at some call me lips, all one word.
I saw that. Yep. How many people? That's it.
You know, I got that name because guys would be like, hey, lips. Like, they wouldn't know my name and they would just call me lips. So I'm like, some call me lips.
All right.
And then Twitter, you can follow me at Amber_Spamber. Yeah.
Nice name. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm a fan of that.
Mm-hmm. I'm on the Facebook too. I mean, just Google me, guys.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. My guest today has been Amber Coil. Check her out on all her social media handles. Make sure you go over to Go90 right now and check out Up for Adoption as well.
So good.
Yes, and look at some really cool pets. Why not do that? Ladies and gentlemen, I've been your host, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Until next time, have a great day, and we'll see you back here for another episode of AfterBuzz TV Spotlight On. Take care.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. Do not necessarily... The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.